Good afternoon and welcome. You're listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches 89.5 Micro FM Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. Simulcast on the Grow Your Own Channel 107.5 FM Greenville, South Carolina, the Jalapeno Channel 87.9 FM Sioux Falls, South Dakota, and numerous other micro broadcasts and webcasts across our great nation. Our website is FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. We open the broadcast with Trenches by Pop Evil. It is, well, it's Turncoat Tuesday. It's the third day of November 2020. It's 12:04 Pacific Time. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and by my brother, John D., United States Marine, fighting tyranny. This is a live call-in program, and listeners are encouraged to join in the conversation. If you'd like to call in, the number is 712-770-5597. A nice lady will come on the line and ask you for the conference room you want, and that would be 220029 and then the pound sign. Again, that's 712-770-5597 and then enter 220029 and hit that pound sign. Of course, you're going to have to punch in star 6 to unmute if you want to come up on the air and mix it up with JD and myself today. Well, it's currently 58 degrees here, 4,200 feet in the high Cascades of Northern Jefferson, and we're looking for a high of 64 degrees today for the Klamath Basin, and colder in hell in the mornings and a little bit warm in the afternoons, but it's a coming. It's a coming. That being said, good afternoon, John, and how's the weather out there in Nazi Joysy today? He's not there. Uh-oh. He's fighting the computer. All right, let's see what we're going to look at first here. While we're waiting on John. Domestic terror groups Antifa and Black Lives Matter issue nationwide call for burning, looting, and riots in the streets on election night Tuesday. And we'll get into that as soon as we return.
Take your brain. It's time to go.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Bringing you the word from the trenches, please give a big round of applause for Henry Shively.
Alrighty then, it would seem John's fighting a computer again today, which is no surprise. I'm sure they don't want to hear from us right at this particular moment when they're, you know. Well, I guess when they're in the end game of their production of a fucking occupational election selection, when the goofy asses are out there doing it. And, you know, I was watching the stupid box, and 90 million people have already voted. Well, then there must be more than 340 million people in this country. Because, I mean, they're expecting another how many to vote, and 65% doesn't add up to that. Could we have a couple of 100 million extra people in this country? And you know how handy that, we already know how crooked it is, the mail-in voting, how rot with fucking corruption it is. But it also keeps the lines of the foreigners going in to vote who fucking have no goddamn, well, who has a right to vote in this goddamn country. It's not even our country at this point in the ball game. We got to take it back. But I mean, what would those lines look like? You know, I think that's another reason that they did it this way. Not to mention that you can make, with the mail-in ballots, you can make it come out any way you want. I guarantee fucking it. That being said, was that John that dinged in? Nope. Okay, we're going to start looking at these articles. Domestic terror groups, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, issue nationwide call for burning, looting, and riots in the streets on election night Tuesday. This is from The End Begins, and it was sent in by Misty for discussion on FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com. Both domestic terror groups, Antifa and Black Lives Matter, are vowing to burn down America's big cities with massive nationwide riots in the streets starting election night on Tuesday. Will they do it? Well, since they have already caused over $2 billion in damage over the past 6 months, I would tend to lean towards believing them, and you should, and so should you. This is from Newsweek. One Twitter post depicting a police car in a brick alongside the phrase ballot box with a arrow directing that it should be going through the vehicle's window has attracted more than 17,000 likes since it was posted on social media platform. Alongside the phrase Seattle protests, there are calls to target the police and create disruption. Well, if it was just them, you know, the communists shooting and killing the communists, that wouldn't bother me one bit. I'd sit back and watch, get some popcorn and sip a drink. Huh? All right. You there, J.D.?
Yes, I am. How do there. I sound?
You sound great.
How's sorry it? For being late.
That's all right, man. I figured you were fighting a computer.
Yeah, that, and I was outside. I didn't realize it was that late. so, yes, I was doing a bunch of work. The computer being one of them, I spent quite a few hours getting this all sorted out, so I hope it sounds good today.
Oh, it sounds excellent right now. I mean, I don't know how it's going to sound when you start talking about something they don't want to hear, but right now
well,
you sound
let's
great.
Start, let's see if I start talking about the Jews. If,
Yep.
There we go, see?
Exactly. Anyway.
So, Henry, I'm so excited. Today's selection day, we're going to find out who Israel and the Rothschilds are going to make our hand puppet for a president. Oh, man, I'm sitting like a three-year-old squirming in an overfilled diaper.
Well, I mean, I got up pretty early this morning, and the hair has been standing up on my arms. I mean, I'm myself, I'm thrilled. I don't know what to say. I started this article, domestic terror groups, Antifa and Black Lives Matter issue nationwide call for burning, looting, and riots in the streets on election night Tuesday.
Henry, isn't that terrorism?
Well, it would be if it wasn't for communists doing it. You see, the communists have considered that they've already taken over, and we already know that the fucking, there are no, peace officers in this country. Our system has been fucking hijacked, and that it's just communist on communist. And they're talking about, well, I was down to this point here, alongside the phrase Seattle protests, there are calls to target police and create disruption. I don't really care if the police and these Antifa, they're all the same fucking people. But this isn't what's going to happen, because this isn't what has happened in the past. Using the Twitter handle Justja2206, someone calling themselves Jay, a Black Lives Matter supporter, has written, "We will not be stopped no matter what the election brings. Neither side is for black lives. Be out there." I'm going to tell you motherfuckers something. If this starts materializing, this is one American, I'll be heading north, and I'll be bringing my boys together and fucking, we'll see what you fucking burn. Because, I mean, they're talking about, let's see here, alongside the post is a mock-up of a poster showing a time of 7 p.m. when a burning ballot box and a call to revolutionaries, anarchists. Oh, there's those anarchists again. You know those anarchists that are the good guys and the anti-fascists, which is Antifa.
Well, now, Henry, would that be like Al-Qaeda? Remember they used to be the bad guys, but now they're the good guys because they work with us?
Well, that's what Charlie said. They were, you know, anarchists. They're good people. They want a fucking total anarchy. Anarchy is not a good thing. We want law. We want the goddamn law that we were guaranteed back in 1791, and we're going to fucking have it. Elsewhere, there are calls for those supporting anti-fascist group Antifa to take to the streets on Wednesday, the day after the election. Plans for the demonstrations have emerged as Newsweek reported that security at the White House is being increased with plans to install a new non-scalable fence around the building perimeter as President Donald Trump's administration prepares for possible unrest related to Tuesday's election. And if this is how
Henry, they could erect a non-scalable fence around the White House, but they can't seem to do one at our southern border.
Yeah, and that's something. Now, that goddamn, I don't even see nobody protesting that fence. I'll tell you
I
what.
I love that. Non-scalable fence. You know, I've never heard of one of those before.
I'll tell you what, you motherfuckers, you better keep your goddamn, you go ahead and you do with your rioting and all your shit, but you better keep it in the inner city. You come out in the fucking burbs and you're going to get fucking wasted. And your buddies, the cops, they come to save you, they're going to get fucking wasted. Anybody that comes and tries to burn people's homes is going to get fucking wasted. You better get that through your goddamn heads. You want this thing to start now? Works for me. I'll be heading straight up that way as soon. Well, I'll be talking to my boys this evening. And if you want to fucking, you want to see what a fucking war is like, then we're going to show you what a fucking war is like. Oh, man. Anyways. Kentucky State Police training documents urged candidates to be ruthless in their violence, quoted Hitler and Robert E. Lee, from Yahoo News that was sent in by enemy of the state for discussion on From the Trenches.
No, wait, Henry, how are they communicating this? Is this through that Twitter which censors anything that's pro-Trump?
I can't tell you how this is just some, I don't know how they're actually communicating it other than this page I'm looking at. But,
well, remember, they're supposedly communicating to these social media networks like Twitter and Facebook, which was supposedly just up before Congress trying to explain how they censor some of these postings, but they seem to ignore others.
Well, yeah, well, absolutely. But, this is talking about, the other side, I guess, of the equation from the Antifa, the other anarchists, the other communists. And I'll tell you who they intend to be ruthless with and violent with. And that is the people who try to stop their cohorts on the other side, the Antifa and the fucking anarchist and the goddamn Black Lives Matter, which made up of 6-1 of fucking white women. You fuckers think you're going to come out and fucking wreak havoc in the goddamn bird. You're going to get your asses shot.
Soros little bitches?
Yeah, Soros little bitches. That's exactly who they are. And why that fucker hasn't been arrested. I mean, as you know, they come on, they've tried to mention it a couple of times on the mainstream propaganda machine. And each time the person trying to talk about it's been cut off. We can't talk about George Soros. We can't talk about that son of a bitch. I bet we can hang him. And you get in our fucking way and you'll fucking die. You start this shit, you think you're going to fucking burn and start fucking terrorizing us? We'll show you what fucking terror is. You don't know the fucking people that are out here. You don't know what the fuck we're capable of. And we're not going to just stand by and let you fucking run us over, you bunch of punks. Bring your baddest. Bring your fucking baddest asses you fucking got. And we'll plant them like fucking corn. A training program for Kentucky. Anyway, this is from Yahoo News. I did that. A training program for Kentucky State Police quoted Adolf Hitler and the Nazis not once, not twice, but three times, a student newspaper in Louisville recently reported. The manual Red Eye, the student newspaper at DuPont Manual High School in Louisville, broke the story after being given a copy of a 33-page sideshow used to train police cadets by a local attorney who received the materials from KSP, I guess that's Kentucky State Police, after requesting materials used to train a detective who shot and killed a man in Harlan County. The most attention-grabbing slide was, or has been, one advising cadets on violence of action with an image of a bald eagle and an American flag as the background. The slide advises trainees to meet violence with greater violence. And this is where it's all going to get fucking very interesting. Because you come out to where you come out of your fucking little shithole, your swill of a fucking inner city, and you start coming out into the burbs where people own homes and people, you're going to get, they got guns. This is fucking Oregon, man. You come out and not to mention there'd be more headed up that way. A bunch more. Kentucky State Police should be able to exhibit ruthlessness and controlled aggression. What the fuck is controlled aggression? Without anger, the slide notes. Be the loving father, spouse, and friend, as well as the ruthless killer. It emphasizes in the red text. That'll be me. Beneath that advice are two quotes, one attributed to Albert Einstein, a German Jew, it must be noted, and Adolf Hitler. The world is a dangerous place, not because of those who do evil, but because of those who look on and do nothing. Well, that ain't going to be happening here. Reads the quote, likely incorrectly attributed to Einstein. This is immediately followed by a sentence lifted from Hitler's manifesto, Mein Kampf. The very first essential for success is perpetual, constant, and regular employment of violence. Reads the quote, you want fucking violence? You're going to fucking get violence, you motherfuckers. Just do it. Let's get this shit over with, man. I'm down. Elsewhere, Hitler is quoted again, this time with the quote, it is always more difficult to fight against faith than against knowledge, along with a slide that simply reads, Uber Allies. I guess it means Uber. I don't know what it means in German, but Allies, I don't know. A phrase widely associated with the Nazis that means, well, above all else. The Washington Post notes, the sideshow leans heavily into warrior infography and rhetoric, which has been heavily criticized by social justice and legal advocates and some public officials who say such a mindset encourages officers to use excessive force and abuse their power with the post. You better keep your fight down in your little fucking shithole. Lee is also quoted in a section of the Shadow, our sideshow, titled "The Thin Gray Line," a reference to the Kentucky State Police traditional gray uniforms, saying that masculinity is more valuable than other characteristics, and that's a damn fact. And you're about to see the fucking men come out to fight this time. You do fucking try this shit. Just give it a fucking go. I want this over with. I mean, if I got any life left, if I live through this, I want to live some fucking life in freedom and fucking peace and harmony and just fucking kick back and dig nature and you want a culling? We're going to do some fucking culling. It's called communist culling. All you fucking communists are going to be fucking culled. Got it? That's the fucking Trump-tard fucking corporate communist, and that's also the fucking Bolsheviks and the fucking Marxists. You got it? We will kill fucking communists. I'll shoot communists till I wear a blister on my fucking finger. Private and public life are subject to the same rules. Truth and manliness will carry you through the world much better than policy or tact and expediency or any other word that was ever devised, concealed. A deviation from a straight line, Lee says in a quote that has aged exactly as well as you'd expect a line from a Confederate general who was a slave owner. He was a slave owner. Goddamn, everybody in the goddamn world was a slave owner at one time or another, or a slave. You were either a slave or a slave owner. We're all fucking slaves right here in this United States right now. Look, read that 14th article. Your subject is a slave. You're a slave. You own nothing. Morgan Hall, the communications director for the Kentucky Justice and Public Safety Cabinet, said the sideshow hasn't been used to train cadets since 2013. No, they've been training over there in fucking Tel Aviv where make this shit here look like fucking Boy Scout camp. What else we got here? Michigan governor, up to 6 months in prison if businesses don't surveil customers for contact tracing. Now, we've already determined that they have no authority to do this. But see, they're telling these businesses, and then these businesses are turning around. You business owners, you do this, you're committing fucking high treason and fucking sedition. And you can be fucking hung for it, shot for it, whatever we have to do to fucking get rid of it. We have that right under our law. We have the right to enforce that fucking law. And you will be breaking that fucking law. So if you're you put your money above, you're not going to put your money above my freedom. You're going to put your money above your fucking life. Because this shit, again, is not going to be tolerated. This is from the Federalist. It was sent in by Misty. For discussion, I'm from the trenches, worldreport.com. The Michigan Department of Health and Human Services is requiring restaurants, barbershops, tattoo parlors, recreational facilities, and entertainment establishments to record the names, contact information, and visit times of all customers. To aid with contact tracing. Any establishment that does not comply is threatened with a maximum of $200 fine, a misdemeanor charge punishable with up to 6 months in prison, and a $1,000 civil fine for violating the state's emergency order. Illegal, unlawful emergency order. And you know what? This is what you do if you're a fucking American and you put your goddamn liberty above your life. You go and you burn that fucking license that is the goddamn agreement with the state that, you get your corporate welfare. I mean, I've always thought about the welfare state. You know, they always talked about the welfare state. You know, the people, and you always see the poor people, going to get food or get food stamps. And, food stamps was a big one. And, what might have you. But the goddamn, I'm telling you, the welfare state in this goddamn country has been, from the day one, has been a corporate welfare state. That's how come they have all of the fucking wealth and we have none of the fucking wealth. See, these son of a bitches aren't going to go out in the street and burn their fucking business licenses and start operating as fucking private businesses that the fucking government cannot fucking dictate to. When they keep that license, they remain government fucking agents. And so they have to follow orders or they can be fined under the government's admiralty jurisdiction, don't you know? And so, that's what it's coming down to. I mean, these places that are, you have to wear a mask. You don't have the authority to tell me to wear a mask, motherfucker. You have not taken me through the courts. You do not have a court order. You can't tell me nothing. And because you did take that license, you made your fucking building, your domain there, your business, you made it a public domain because you want to get in the goodie basket. You want to be a fucking corporate welfare recipient. And they are these are always the people that you see talking down about people getting food stamps or getting housing or what might have you that have been, completely wiped out through the international theft of the international banksters and the fucking Zionist Jews. Oh, these are the ones that cry the loudest. $28 billion went to the fucking farmers last year they got sent $28 billion just because they were farmers. And every goddamn one of them, if they went bankrupt tomorrow, they'd come through that bankruptcy with more than I've ever made my whole fucking life. I'll tell you who the go ahead.
Hey, sorry to cut you off. I know you're going on the rant, but, this is Mike. I called before several months, but, great shows you guys got. I listen every day. Go along with what you said. I just got kicked out of a grocery store for not wearing a mask. And two cops came out. Long story short, no mask. And they backed up the corporation. They told me that it was not a crime not to wear a mask. And I told them a mandate is not a law.
Uh-huh.
And they gave me a verbal trespass order against me not to come there anymore. So they don't stand up for our rights. They do actually stand up for the corporation.
They are owned by the corporation, my friend. I mean, it's their private corporate army. There was no authorization for any kind of a policing force over the people ever. All the power is supposed to flow from the people to the servant government. There was never no authorization from we the people for them to govern. They can't even fucking arrest us unless they do it in their private capacity and do it in a common law court according to the superior supreme law of this land, which was ratified December 15, 1791, and we call it our Bill of Rights. But that is written, ratified, absolute fucking law, and they know it.
It's funny how nobody is. I've been here, like I said. I don't know if you'll recall me, but. I've been here 20 years, and I live in a communist country. and until I was 18. Well, it was communist until 89.
Mm-hmm.
Eastern Europe, that's where all the Jews come from, right?
Yeah.
I'm not Jewish. But anyway, it's funny how, not funny, but sad. They never teach you about the Bill of Rights. It's just some fringe document out there that nobody knows hardly anything about. I think it's done on purpose. The other thing that I want to mention, and I'll just let you continue. The other thing that I noticed is some friends and relatives that I have that are really kind of religious in a sense, and they believe in God and, you know, Bible-thumping Christians and Trump supporters.
Mm-hmm.
They just walking around wearing masks, and to my recollection from what I know about the Christian religion is we're supposed to be such tough sons of bitches out there who believe in God. Mm-hmm. We should, like, not go, like, you know, the radical Christians, like, actually get bit by snakes. But where is that faith in God that the Christian people supposed to have? It's almost like they're blinded by just every little fearful thing that might come around and has hardly any chance of hurting you. They rather wear a mask that gives them pulmonary infection, but they don't look at that, and they don't look at their God as like a protector. So it really goes to show how duped they are as far as Israel and thinking this, you know, the Jews are God's chosen people and such. They have no idea about who they really are.
Well, you know, it's the violation of the first article. It is organized religion as a part of the government in violation of the first article. I mean, they've got it in the executive branch. They have put an evangelical fucking advisor. I mean, you cannot fucking do that. That's a violation of the law, but these are 501c3 churches, and they go into those goddamn churches, and the pastor tells them, obey, or Romans, what is it? Romans 13.
Obey the authorities. Yes.
Yeah, obey
the authorities.
Render unto Caesar that which is Caesar. Well, not Caesar's. Well, I'm not fucking Caesar's. I'm a fucking individual, freeman, sovereign, national. I belong to me, you son of a bitch. But yeah.
Very good point.
Yeah, exactly. But at any rate, you know, they're complicit with fucking treason. That's all you can tell them. You go in and you go in there and stand with your Jews and stand with your fucking the traitors. You'll die right with them motherfuckers. You think we're going to allow you to take our goddamn Bill of Rights away from us and leave us in a situation of servitude to you? You're out of your fucking mind. I'd rather die on my feet than live on my fucking knees, and I'm willing to kill you to do it. And there's a plenty of us.
I told them the same thing. I just saw them a few minutes ago, some relatives and friends. I told them, like, you are the ones that are perpetuating this whatever they're pushing on us with your masks and, you know, the mandatory vaccines. And, you know, my girlfriend went to vote today, and she told me she's going to vote for Trump. Even though she knows a lot about a lot, people want to have a level of hope, like a candlelight of hope that, by voting for the lesser of two evils. And I run into Trump supporters all the time, and it's going to change anything. I said, well, you don't want to build a new house on a crumbling foundation, do you? I said, that's what you do when you vote for Trump or Biden or anybody. The system is wrong. It doesn't matter who goes in there, and they're not going to change the system.
Well, the bottom line is Trump is a fucking rapist. He should be in fucking prison. He should have you know, a fucking 19-year-old kid fucks his 16-year-old girlfriend. He gets a sex jacket thrown on him, and he can't work. You know, he has a problem working the rest of his life. This son of a bitch rapes a 14-year-old fucking girl, and man, it can't even get into a court. You don't even hear nothing. It seems like that was what his enemies would be shouting from the rooftop, wouldn't it? If this whole thing wasn't a fucking setup. The son of a bitch is a rapist. A rapist of a 14-year-old girl. Is that your lesser of two evils? Is that what your good Christian ass tells you to do? Oh, maybe it don't matter. Maybe you're more Jew than you are Christian, and maybe she'll forget it. She was only 14.
Well, Well, not even the Me Too crowd, the liberal, like the leftist Me Too proponents, they're not saying anything about it.
Of course, so, they're not. This whole thing's a setup, and it's they've got big fucking plans. Everybody better be locked and loaded and ready to rock and fucking roll, because as soon as they've whichever fucking stooge they put in there, they've got their agenda, yeah. And sooner or later, I mean, if it's Biden, it'll probably be the shots. They come to give me a shot, I'm shooting back.
I know.
Mike.
I'm gonna die. Yes.
Yeah. What? So exactly what happened to you? The cop told you he gave you a verbal trespass, and now you can no longer go to that facility, right?
Yes.
And if you do go back to that facility, they're gonna throw your ass in jail. Is that what the cop told you?
Yes.
But it's not a crime.
Yeah.
You see what
exactly.
I'm talking about?
I haven't committed any crime yet. They didn't even write anything down.
They
weren't wearing a mask.
They don't have the authority. Even in the admiralty, they do not have the authority. These fucking governors, that one in Michigan, I mean, you know, it was unconstitutional because they didn't legislate. They can't legislate. That ninth article means what it fucking says. You can't create any kind of authority that denies or disparages my right. And the only way you can tell me I can't do something is to go through the whole procedural due process, and you can't tell me. It has to be the foreman of the fucking common law jury that held the case, that listened to the case and found you to be in the right, and they will issue the fucking order. That's the only lawful way to do it, and that is not what they are doing. And the store owner, you got it right when the shit hits the fan, when we take those courts back, you got a right to bring his ass in there and ask that he be hanged, because I guarantee you he knows he doesn't have the fucking authority to tell you you can't come into that domain.
He doesn't. Not only that, I have him on video because I recorded the whole encounter, and I have him on video saying that I made sexist comments. He said he came in here and he made sexist comments towards my employees, and I can't have that.
Well,
he was smoking a cigarette in front of the entrance, which is against quote unquote federal law. So,
Were you tried and convicted of making sexist comments? Oh, then that's just an accusation that is nothing more than an accusation. You were denied your right to free travel without due process of the law by a son of a bitch who absolutely knows. I know because I know people who own fucking businesses, and they know, they've told me they know that they have no authority to tell anybody that they have to wear a mask or not. And some of them were eating. I mean, a lot of people that I know that have got businesses, they sold them. Because they are being threatened with these fines, which they can be threatened with because they're in bed with the fucking government, because they love that goddamn corporate welfare. That's what this all comes down to, is corporate fucking welfare.
I haven't talked to any employees. The only thing I ever said was to a woman that was a customer and was not wearing a mask, and I said, I smiled at her and I said, "You're a great American," and I do that to everybody that is not wearing a mask. I give them a compliment. And she smiled back and went on her way, and I hadn't even checked out, and he accosted me. But I spent, you know, a lot of money at that grocery store in the last 20 years, and that's how valued.
Yeah, they don't give a shit about your money. It's not your money anyway, buddy. You know, it's like the time when my dad, when I was young, you know, my dad, they wanted the money in my dad's wallet. They treat the customers always right. Yes, sir. They treated him decent, but now it's fuck you, get out of the way, the Mexican behind you will fucking buy it. That's where we're at, and we've got to take our break. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Thank you for listening to PBFTT.
Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5.
Micro FM.
Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson.
Time we embrace the tool that keeps on.
listening to The Word from the Trenches on Patriot Broadcast from the Trenches, 89.5 Micro FM, Chiloquin, the state of Jefferson. The Word from the Trenches is a listener-sponsored broadcast. If you'd like to help keep this program on the air, go to FromTheTrenchesWorldReport.com and hit that donate button. Or you can mail donations to Henry Shively, Post Office Box 964, Chiloquin, Oregon, 97624. Your contributions are appreciated and needed. I'm your host. The Word from the Trenches is hosted by myself, Henry Shively, and my brother, John D., United States Marine fighting tyranny. And we went way past the bottom of the hour, so you take all the time you care for, John, and you have the mic, sir.
Okay, Henry, thank you very much. Is this sounding good still?
Sounds great.
All right, thank you very much. All right, let's get moving here. I'm going to try this again because, of, as you heard yesterday, my mic seemed to be going... And, of course, you can't understand a word I'm saying when that happens. So we're going to give it a try today. I did spend some time last night going through this and a few other things to try and clean up that mess to, if it's on my end, which I don't know what entirely is. So we'll give it a shot all the same. All right, I am John D., U.S. Marine Fighting Tyranny. This is the Tactical Report. It is November 3rd. It is Israeli Selection Day. Now, remember, the Zionist Jews, you know, Netanyahu and Israel over there, that terrorist organization occupying a country called Palestine, is going to let us know what sock puppet they're going to install in the White House to be our fearless leader for another 4 years. Oh, I'm so excited. I'm moving around. I'm squirming like a three-year-old in a diaper that's overflowing with shit. That's right, people, because it is all shit. It is Tuesday. Of course, this comes from the Scandinavian Norse gods for Tyr, god of war. How appropriate is that? And from which they got Tyr's Day, from which our nation got Tuesday. And over here on From the Trenches, we got Turncoat Tuesday, although I may call it Tomitic Tuesday, Talmud Tuesday, at least for today, because Israel controls who all of our senators and congressmen are, period. You know, I had an argument with somebody before. It wasn't an argument. Let's just say a disagreement. And he was arguing about, no, we got to get out there and vote because we got to have Trump. And life has been so much better under Trump. And he couldn't wrap his head around the fact that it doesn't matter who gets in. It really doesn't. In fact, I wanted Hillary Clinton to get in because I just want to get this goddamn war going. And it's not even about fighting the local idiots. Remember, the people who come to your house, they're probably just looking for food or they're just being opportunistic to steal from you. They're not the real problem. They're a problem when they're right there in front of your house trying to rob you. That's a problem, but they're not the real problem. It's the people manipulating these situations. That's the problem. And they're the toughest to get to. So when we do start to fight, we're going to have to go through layers of people, layers of defenses that they have erected to protect themselves before we get to them. And that's going to be people like the Warburgs, the Browns, the Harrimans, and, of course, the Rothschilds in and of themselves. But anyway, let's get going. It is November 3rd, 2020. It is 1547 Eastern Daylight Time. That's 347 to all you civilians out there and to all the retards who think Trump's going to give us 4 more years if he could just win the election. Trump's little hand. Mickey's little hand is just past the 3, and his big hand is pointing up near the thing that looks like the number 8 with the bite out of the bottom of it. That would be the number 9. Remember what I said about John Lennon's song? He made a song about that. It was actually fairly popular, not terribly popular, but fairly popular. Remember that? The number 9, the number 9, the number 9, which did much better than his previous attempt. The number 8, the number 8, the number 8. And I'm repeating that, yes, because I don't know if you heard that when I tried that yesterday. All right, let's get moving here. Let's take a quick moment in our Bill of Rights segment. I may start instituting this back. Remember I used to do that way back when? Now, remember, Henry has talked about the illegitimacy of the Constitution, but even if it's wholly illegitimate, it doesn't matter because it was superseded by the legitimate Bill of Rights. Now, the Constitution in and of itself did become effective on March 4th, 1789, but it was superseded, it was surpassed by the Bill of Rights, which, of course, was ratified and became effective on December 15th, 1791. That became the supreme law of the land. And that's because of Article 9, Article 9 states, and we're going to read it one more time, the enumeration in the Constitution of certain rights shall not be construed to deny or disparage others retained by the people. Two commas, one period, and 21 words. And yet, this is a fail-safe clause in the Bill of Rights, because it says that the Constitution, the certain rights in it, and what are those certain? Well, first off, what is the Constitution? Well, it's supposed to be our owner's operator's manual for a limited form of government called a republic. But, of course, in the Constitution, it does grant certain rights to people to be called congressmen, senators, judges. So there are certain, an artificial class of people that the Constitution does authorize so that the government can operate. But this clearly says that there is nothing in the Constitution that can be used to deny or disparage others retained by the people. And the others what? The other rights. What rights? Well, that's what's enumerated in the Bill of Rights. That's what it was all about. So this was your first legal boundary, your first failsafe. And, of course, they have violated it. They have penetrated it. They have overrun it, if you want to look at it from a military term aspect. They have overrun the ninth article. And so now we go into the second failsafe mechanism in the Bill of Rights, and that's Article 2. A well-regulated militia, being necessary to the security of a free state, the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. Now notice, it does not say the right of the militia members to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, because that's the argument they always try and make. Oh, it was about the militia, which has to be state controlled. They're the ones that have certain rights about firearms. I've heard this argument from the left, from the right, and every variation of it you can think of. And that is not what the second article says. It says the right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed. There's nothing in that statement about you have to be a member of any militia to have that right in full force at all times. Doesn't say it at all. In fact, it's quite explicit. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, period. 27 words, three commas, and one period, and the most powerful statement ever written in human history. All right, let's get moving here. Real quick, we're going to do a fly over the current financial markets, the fraud, the con called the financial markets. And we've got gold at $1,906 an ounce. Silver, let me scroll down here a little bit. There we go. Silver is at $24.07. In the major fraud indicators, you got the Dow Jones Industrial Average currently up almost 600 points. 27,483. The U.S. Zala index is holding about 93%. Crude oil is up almost a buck at $37.78 a barrel on the New York spot market. In that gambling mechanism called cryptocurrencies, look at this. Bitcoin up another 190 bucks at $13,751. Well, I tell you what, if I had any, I probably would have sold just before that, but certainly I would think about selling right now or put on what's called a stop loss, a trailing stop loss order on it, meaning that when Bitcoin drops so much, you know, 1%, 2%, whatever you indicate in your trailing stop loss order, it would automatically sell. So it allows it to ratchet up a little bit more, but the moment it starts to pull back, depending on the size of the stop loss order percentage you put on it, it'll automatically sell. So at the very least, I would have a stop loss order, a trailing loss on this. And 13,751, yes, I believe that is a new high for it. I don't know if that's exactly the new high. Certainly within the last week or so, it's been hitting new highs. And again, if you look at this as anything else than a gambling device, you're an idiot. All right, let's get moving here. Quick couple of stories, and I want to get back to the bug-out bag scenario. I like this one over in Investment Watch blog. California judge slaps down Governor Newsom's unconstitutional COVID lockdowns and mandates, issues injunction against Newsom tyranny. Now, my question is, why the fuck does this take so long, even in the admiralty system? You know, when the government wants something, well, they can get it almost immediately, but the moment you go to challenge it, well, you ever notice how it takes months and months and months? In this case, well, you know, better part of a year before they came up with this injunction to declare that even in their own admiralty system, his mandates and his lockdown orders are unconstitutional. Let's see what it says real quick. In breaking bombshell news, California judge just smacked down Governor Newsom's coronavirus directives, warning they were unconstitutional and interfered with state law. The judge is Sutter County Superior Court Judge Sarah Heckman, and her order was issued on Monday around 3 p.m. local time. Funny, I didn't hear about it yesterday. A Northern California judge on Monday preliminarily ordered Governor Newsom to stop issuing directives related to the coronavirus that might interfere with state law. Well, how come that's not happening in Michigan or any other state? Now, again, none of this is legal. It is all tyranny, but it does fall back to the second failsafe of the Bill of Rights, because they have already violated the first failsafe, which was Article 9 within the Bill of Rights, which is the legal barrier, our legal protections, but we're past that. This is down to the shit fight, people, because all they understand is violence. That's all they understand. They keep saying, oh, violence isn't the way. No, violence, we can't use violence. But meanwhile, their fucking armed security guard, their Blackwater cops, called law enforcement. Well, they walk around with loaded pistols, flak jackets, bulletproof vests, and they walk around with combat gear that's better than some of the shit I had when I was in combat during the Persian Gulf War. And I'm not making a joke. But yet, violence doesn't solve anything. Well, it seems to solve a lot for them, otherwise they wouldn't use it. Anyway, I like that real quick. I just wanted to mention that because all of these lockdown orders are completely illegal. Going on, just a reminder. Now, this is what I was talking about yesterday. Now, remember, who's behind all this? In the end, you're going to find out it's the Jews. And the moment I start talking about the Jews is when you notice that I start having problems with my...
Did that at the end of the last thing you were saying. It did it one time.
Did it?
Yes.
That's the juice for you. All right, Israel, we appreciate that you listen to us, but please stop interfering. Stop interfering with our broadcast. And that includes you 8,200 guys. Now, remember, there is a unit within the Mossad, or it's actually within the Israeli Defense Network, and most of them are former Mossad, called Unit 8,200. Reminds me of Japan's Unit 731, which was a medical division that was over there in China that developed some of the most noxious, obnoxious pathogens in human history. But we've got a cyber division of the Mossad called Unit 8,200, and they're stationed right there in New York, in fact, in Chicago and L.A., in fact, as far as I know, in every major city, and they broadcast all, they monitor all the broadcasts, all the radios, and certainly all of the alternate news sites like us. They listen to us every day. We really appreciate your patronage, but at least send us some money if you're going to listen to us. And of course, they're the ones that will interfere with our broadcast periodically. But as I said, we don't mind you listening, but just leave us the fuck alone. Stop interfering with our broadcast. It's just annoying. It doesn't stop us from getting the information out. Now let's go on real quick here. This is what I was talking about yesterday when Henry informed me that it was my breaking up was so bad that he didn't understand probably 50% or more of what I was trying to say because it kept getting cut out. And I was making a joke before I was doing that when I said, when the Jews interfere with, that was me. All right, let's look at this one now. Just a reminder, over in No More Fake News, CDC plans COVID concentration camps. Now, the CDC document is titled, now this is a mouthful, and you can go over to No More Fake News, this is John Rappaport's site, bring up this article, and it has the link. You click on it, the CDC document, and it will bring you right to the CDC site where this document is, and you can download it yourself. Well, as I do, I print them out. CDC document is titled, Interim Operational Considerations for Implementing the Shielding Approach to Prevent COVID-19 Infections in Humanitarian Settings. That's a long friggin' title, don't you think? They could have just shortened it down to Interim or COVID-19 Concentration Camps, because that's what they are. Let's just read one paragraph here. The shielding approach, and this is a quote from this CDC document, the shielding approach aims to reduce the number of severe COVID-19 cases by limiting contact between individuals at higher risk of developing severe disease, quote, high risk people, and the general population, quote, low risk, end of quote. High risk individuals would be temporarily relocated to safe or green zones, established at the household, neighborhood, camp, sector, or community level, depending on the context and setting. They would have minimal contact with family members and other low-risk residents. And this goes on and on. There's a lot more to this, but I just wanted to read that first paragraph because when they use the word sector, yes, that is a military term because this will be a military coup. We're under military occupation. Most people don't realize it. You hear me use the word EFO or enemy force and occupation, but it is in fact a military occupation. And if you don't think so, look at your neighborhood cops. They're part of that military occupation of our country. That's their job, is to protect these fucking international communists. Oh, I needed this quick drink. All right, now, this is in conjunction with the document I had covered, where the United States Army's manual on this is called FM3-39.40. Now, you've heard me mention this many times. The name of the document is Internment and Resettlement Operations. And there, in this document, the CDC document, they're talking about temporarily relocated people. Well, what is that? That's internment and resettlement. And who are they going to use for this? Oh, that's right, the U.S. military. And when they use the U.S. military, who are they going to go to? That's right, the U.S. Army. Now, people don't understand this, but about the major military forces, but the U.S. Marines is what's called a force in readiness. That is, we are able and ready and willing to engage the enemy on ultra-short notice, typically in 24 hours or less, to be anywhere in the world to make contact with the enemy. The Army is what's called a force in occupation. That is, after an objective or a geographical area has been secured by the U.S. Marines, then the Army moves in because they are a force in occupation, and they will typically keep law and order in the area until there is a final determination on when to withdraw our military forces from that area. Well, in that regard, we are talking about an extended occupation of here in America by the U.S. Army, or by U.S. military forces, which means you need a force in occupation, which is the U.S. Army. What's the manual the Army will use? FM3-39.40. That's what it's for. It's for use here in CONUS, Continental United States, because they don't do those kind of operations in foreign countries. That's what the UN is for. So you go on over to the U.S. Army, go right to their website, U.S. Army, and type in FM3-39.40, and you can see the whole manual. In fact, I got a hard copy of it. I actually ordered a hard copy. Now let's continue on with this. All right, so I got that. All right, that's what I wanted to make clear. Let's keep moving here. Now, talking about this COVID-19, now remember, the Illuminati, the New World Order, the Zionist Jews, they have been working towards this very day for the last 250 to 300 years, easily. And they are now at the point where they are taking their 250 to 300 years worth of New World Order chips, and they are pushing them in the middle of the table, and they have gone all in. And if you ever play poker in your life, you know what I'm talking about. They are making the ultimate bet here. They are gambling everything on this. They have gone all in. They're not going to back down. They're not going to walk away. They're not going to admit a mistake. They're not going to say, oh, gee, this was overstated. You're right. There is no COVID-19. Or the contact cases aren't as severe as has been indicated in the mass lying media. They're not going to do any of that. They are going all in. This is Operation Global Enslavement. This is what they are trying. They have gone all in, people. And now we're talking about the continued use of propaganda and bullshit to continue this operation and to further their accomplishments so far towards their final objective, which is total global enslavement. Now over in No More Fake News, this is an example of that continued propaganda or bullshit. COVID case number scam reaches, let me read that a little bit better. COVID case number scam reaches new heights on eve of election. Trump is the target. Well, I disagree with that. Trump is nothing more than a Zionist asset. It says here, they are now just making up making up case numbers now. They are just making up case numbers now. That's the sentence. Well, no, they've been making up the case numbers all along. So right off the bat, John Rappaport, I'm surprised. He's usually a little bit better at this than what he just demonstrated here. They have been making the numbers up since day one, since it has been clearly demonstrated there is no COVID-19. It is a computer program, a computer algorithm only. It doesn't exist in the real world. They're just making up case numbers now, wholesale. Check out the first two paragraphs of this October 27th New York Times piece. It doesn't take a genius to figure out what the Times is up to. And, of course, they're talking about the New York Times. Quote, the United States reported a record of more than 500,000 new cases over the past week as states and cities resorted to stricter new measures to contain the virus that is raging across the country, especially the American heartland. The record was broken Tuesday, even as the Trump administration announced what is called its first-term scientific accomplishments in a press release that included ending the COVID-19 pandemic. It says, translation, to try and keep Trump from the second term, public health officials are claiming an absurd new leap in the number of cases. No, they're claiming an absurd number of cases, period, because it is all absurd, and it really has nothing to do with Trump, because if Hillary Clinton was in there, they'd be doing the same thing. If I was in there, they would be doing the same thing. If the guy next door to you was in there and he was president of the United States, they would be doing the same thing, because they have gone all in, and the reason they do so is because they believe the American population and the world population is sufficiently conditioned that they can now make the final all-in move. That's why they're doing it now. All right, so there's a little bit more of the bullshit for you. They're talking about these 500,000 new cases when, in fact, there hasn't been a single confirmed case of a, quote, COVID-19 infected person. All right, now this is interesting. I'm just going to direct your attention over there because I like the picture. I actually downloaded this picture and saved it. Before it's news, Trump's pedophilias must see great videos. Now, I didn't get a chance to see the videos. I'm sure they are interesting because they've actually had a couple of good videos in this regard. But I love the picture, which is actually the first frame of the video. You know, as you're ready to start the video, sometimes it's like a freeze frame there, and you got to hit the play button, then the video starts playing. Well, this is that first frame, the freeze frame, until you hit the play button, is this picture. And I'll describe what you see. You see a picture of Donald Trump, which is clearly younger, Melania, who is now his wife, but wasn't his wife in this picture, so this picture's got to be a good, I'm going to say 15 years old, maybe 20. Melania's there, Jeffrey Epstein, and Ghislaine Maxwell. The four of them there having their little chummy circle, and someone snapped this picture. And now somebody added these little captions with the picture, pointing to Donald Trump. Modeling business owner Donald Trump sued by women who accused him of raping her when she was a teen. And, of course, that's Katie Johnson, and that's the sound clip that Henry plays from time to time. Case dropped after she received multiple death threats. Bragged about friendship with Epstein, who Trump said had a thing for very young women, and is now current U.S. president. Then there's an arrow pointing to Melania Trump, who at that time was Melania Knauss. And I'm not sure I'm saying it right. It's K-N-A-U-S-S, K-N-A-U-S-S, Knauss, or I don't know if the K is silent, in which case it would be Knauss. Melania Knauss, European model, known for lesbian soft porn photo shoots, current first lady. Then there's a picture of Jeffrey Epstein, the arrow pointing to Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein, modeling business owner who recruited young girls from Trump's resort for personal sex and to pimp out to high-profile politicians, international diplomats, and other people in positions of power and influence. And then the one pointing to Ghislaine Maxwell. Ghislaine Maxwell, daughter of notorious Mossad operative known for running honeypot entrapment ops to compromise people of power and influence, served as Jeffrey Epstein's handler, recruiter, and girlfriend. Now notice, I like this, at least that's right. Ghislaine Maxwell was Jeffrey Epstein's handler. Jeffrey Epstein was brought into all of this by Ghislaine Maxwell, whose father was Robert Maxwell, who was a notorious and somewhat open openly stated Mossad operative. In fact, when he was assassinated, because apparently he stopped following directions or wasn't doing what he was supposed to be doing, so the Mossad actually assassinated him at one point, but Israel still gave him a state funeral for services rendered to Israel. And just so you're clear on that, very few people are ever given a state funeral by Israel. But Robert Maxwell was given one. All right, so let's get moving here. Now, I want to mention this because, again, their end goal is going to be these concentration camps and to stick these vaccines in you. And I've already talked about what some in some of these vaccines. But let's talk about what they already did even 50 years ago and they're doing again. Now, this comes out of this book, and I'm going to find the video I wanted. It's a book called Emerging Viruses, AIDS, and Ebola. And this was written by Leonard Horowitz, who's a doctor. And he wrote a very detailed book. Now, I'm going to read just two of the sections in the back and how the connection he makes between the medical research that was done in this, and this is back in the 60s and 70s and 80s and 90s, and, of course, where his research led when he started investigating who was behind this. So he's got a whole chapter called Chapter 11, Henry Kissinger's New World Order. This is actually one of the chapters in his book here. And let's take another one, Chapter 19, the CIA and Africa. Now, let's look back here a little bit. We're going to go back in the time machine a little bit, and this is over in, let me see here if I can get the chapter. Let's see here if I can find it. I don't have the chapter number. I wanted to give you the correct chapter number. Okay, here it is, Chapter 6. Gallo's research anthology, The AIDS, Buck, and Virus, Stop Here. Now, Gallo, he's talking about Dr. Gallo, who did an enormous amount of all this research, which eventually became these AIDS and Ebola viruses and all these other highly contagious and highly lethal viruses. And this was all done by a Department of Defense pharmaceutical company called what the hell is the name of it? Let me see. I forgot what it's called. I want to make sure I give you the right name. Do I have it here? I had it, and I lost it. Well, it's the SV40 was the virus. Biolitnics. Oh, here it is. Litton Bionetics. There we go. Litton Bionetics. Now, for people who have never heard that name, that's a little surprising because at one point, Litton Bionetics was one of the largest pharmaceutical or bio-research companies on the planet. And yet, I bet you most people have never heard of it. Certainly in the 60s, it was the biggest or one of the biggest, second biggest research or bionetic, biological pharmaceutical research companies in the world, and it was also one of the largest contractors for the American Department of Defense. Now, the American Department of Defense had given them a mandate. And this was actually in the contract, and I'm going to read the actual caption here. It says, Litton Bionetics was given a contract by the Department of Defense, and I believe it was in 1963 or 62, if I remember right. The year's mentioned in here. I just don't have it in front of me. But the caption for the contract was, to make a new infective microorganism, most important, that it might be refractory, meaning resistant, to the immunological and therapeutic processes upon which we depend to maintain our relative freedom from infectious disease, meaning you can't be able to cure it. They had to create a microorganism, a pathogen, so lethal, so deadly, that there is no cure for it, whether naturally or produced by some pharmacological company. And that, of course, became AIDS and Ebola. And, of course, one of the base cells that they used for this was something called SV40, simian virus 40, which later on got injected into nearly 100 million Americans and is known to cause cancer, which is exactly why they injected it into people. Now, one of the things they use from these simians, from these monkeys and orangutans that they use to develop these viruses is the kidney cells, which, if you remember right, when they did the so-called testing for this COVID-19, one of the mediums they were using was the monkey kidney cells. So we're right back to the same fucking processes that they were using in the 60s and the 70s by which they created Ebola and, of course, AIDS. And who knows what they're going to create to claim it's COVID-19 that's mutated to get you into these concentration camps that I was just reading about. All right, so I wanted to cover that. That's what I was trying to cover yesterday when I was rudely interrupted by Unit 8200 up there in New York City. The Mossad, thank you. We know you listen. Please make a contribution to us. At least help support the program here because you get so much information from us. They're one of our favorite listeners. They listen to us every day, religiously. They love our show. They just don't like what we talk about. At least make a donation, Israel. Come on. All right, let's get going here. Let's get back to... All right. Now, we may get into gunfights here. They're pushing an all-out war. Now, remember, they want tall against short, fat against skinny, white against black, rich against poor. They want us fighting each other so that, in the end, who's ever left standing is too weak, too worn out to fight the people who are actually behind all of this. That's the idea, to get us to wipe out each other. You shouldn't be doing that. But just in case the fight does come to you, let's go over this one more time. Remember the three ways that a bullet kills you. Number one, neural pathway destruction. In particular, if you take out the brain stem, that's instantaneous death. Chance of recovery, zero. Vascular decompression, that's hitting a major artery, like the aorta or the pulmonary artery. Death in 3 to 7 minutes from bleeding out. Chance of being saved or chance of recovery, about 0.5%. There is a very, very small percentage, about 0.5%, of people who have had these arteries nicked, but were gotten into surgery in time, and in fact were saved. But there they're by far the exception, not the rule. So we're going to clean 99.99% chance of complete fatalities. And then venous hemorrhaging, and that's, of course, when you hit a major blood-bearing organ. Time of death can be several hours to several days, or no death at all. Your chances of recovery, depending on what's hit and how long it is before you get to the proper medical treatment, will determine your survivability. But venous hemorrhaging has a very, very high rate of survivability if you can get to immediate medical attention. In fact, they tend to be between 80 and 90% survivable if you get to medical attention in time. All right, let's get back to the stresses, because stresses will play a key role in how well you deal with the circumstances and the environment. Stresses also have this peculiar effect. Now, they did a study, and this was going back to World War II and certainly in the Korean War and Vietnam War. They found out that guys who are in a prolonged stressful situation, which is combat, they find that the stress reduces your body's ability to absorb food, to absorb nutrients. And what happens, especially in very, very cold environments, they find that guys who are in extended and high levels of stress, after a while, even though they are physically eating enough food, their bodies can't absorb enough of the nutrients. Your body begins to physically shut down, and it does not absorb nutrients nearly as efficiently as when you are in a low-stress state. And so guys started becoming very sick and actually started dying from starvation, even though they were eating food, because of the effects of stress. So what I'm trying to get across here is you have to be aware of your stress level at all times, because it will always have some kind of detrimental effect on you, and it reduces your combat effectiveness always. So you have to do what you can to minimize all of the different types of stresses on you so that you can maintain the maximum possible combat effectiveness. Anyway, I do see that we've gotten past the top of the hour, and if there is any looting or fighting tonight, Godspeed and good luck to you in that fight. Anyway, unless there's any comments or questions, I'm going to hand this back to my friend, my mentor, and my brother, Henry Shively. Going once, going twice. Okay, on you, Henry.
Outstanding report, John, and I even understood every word you said.
Well, I think Unit 8200 left us alone today, so thanks, Israel.
We appreciate it, and do send that donation.
You know, Henry, our most loyal listeners is Mossad, MI6, MI5, Unit 8200, the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, but I don't think they send us any money.
Fucking deadbeats. Anyway.
Exactly, deadbeats, motherfuckers.
Anyway, man, we are past the top of the hour, and we will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern, for another broadcast, The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT, unless they want to start this shit up, man, and then I'm going to be busy. But we'll see how this whole thing unfolds. I mean, they're playing the fucking selection game. And I mean, like I said.
Well, Henry, I'm going to be curious to see, because now you're going to have the voting process. And now they've extended this deadline of counting all these mail-in votes by something like 2 weeks. So technically, they can't claim a winner tonight, although they'll be able to at least post who are the winners of the regular balloting system, the walk-in. You know, we actually cast your ballot. And remember what Stalin said. Doesn't matter who votes, only who counts the vote. But what about the mail-in stuff? So when do they intend to riot? After the announcement tonight, when all the polls are closed? Or are they going to wait until they get all the count, the mail-in ballots, and they're going to make that official announcement? So I'm just curious what their protocol was here.
Well, the article I read, it said that it didn't matter which candidate won. They were just calling on their comrades to come out and just do it.
Oh, that's right. They just want a mass uprising of their fellow commies.
Well, it's time to plant some fucking commies then. That's all I can say.
Well, you know, I heard, Henry, now I used to do quite a bit of gardening, and I heard, you know what? You know, commie blood makes that garden grow real well.
Oh, yeah, man. It's a great fertilizer, and so are their guts. But at any rate, we will be back tomorrow at 12 Pacific, 3 Eastern for another broadcast of The Word from the Trenches on PBFTT. And until then, well, it's too late to tell you to unregister to vote. If you did go vote, you just committed another act of treason against your own fucking people and proved that how fucking retarded you are in believing that this fucking corporation that has been transferring the fucking wealth from we, the people who own this goddamn country, without due process of the law to themselves. Well, I guess they're way smarter than you are. I mean, it doesn't take much, a couple of buzzwords and a slogan or two and shit. You'll drive around in your rig, burn your gas with flags and stuff and participate in shit you don't even understand. Well, you're going to understand when the fucking shooting starts, because that's really pretty cut and dry. That being the case, that is The Word from the Trenches.